On today's episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand, I got a chance to chat with Wayne Richard from Bean Ninjas. We talked bookkeeping, accounting. We talked what to do about those predatory lenders that probably a lot of you are in some of those situations right now. Actually, really good ways to potentially get out of some of those loans. We talked about cash flow. We talked about what, as founders, we actually need to be paying attention to. There was so much that we went through in this episode. You guys are not going to want to miss this one. But hey, guys. We all know how daunting it can be to rely on past inventory projections, especially when it comes to getting the exact right amount of inventory in time for the holiday season. I'm sure lots of you guys are there right now. Well, I actually have an exciting solution to share with you today. Introducing my buddies over at Portless. It's a logistics company that is legitimately changing the game for D2C businesses. By shipping your products directly from China straight to your customers with a fully domestic shopping experience, including custom packaging and local tracking numbers, which is the biggest thing here, they're actually able to keep you in stock all throughout the holiday season, and hopefully actually with less inventory on hand, which we all know will help us with our cash issues. With Q4 right around the corner, it is absolutely crucial to prepare for this holiday ramp up and secure your inventory. Do not let the risks of overstock or stockouts or having your cash flow tied up in inventory hold you back. Portless has revolutionized the way that brands move inventory. Say goodbye to the days of ordering inventory way in advance, like I still do. You have access to factory MOQs and you can replenish fast-moving products super, super fast, generally sometimes within 3 to 5 days, allowing you to capitalize on the demand and then eliminate product wastage. Gone are the days of long shipping times that come with traditional cargo shipping. Remember what it was like during 2020 with cargo shipping? First of all, there were so many delays. And second of all, the price went from $2,000 a container to like $20,000 a container. It was absolutely insane. With Portless, your inventory is ready for sale within 2 to 4 days of being manufactured. That's crazy. The shipping within China is so ridiculously fast and cheap to actually get you to Portless, which is incredible. That means no more waiting 45 to 60 days for your products to actually arrive, right? Portless understands the importance of being nimble and cash positive in the world of D2C and e-commerce. That's why they're here to make it easier for brands like you guys. And if you guys are agency owners as well, I would definitely let all of your brands know about this. They ship to over 55 countries from their fulfillment center in China. And your customers are still going to enjoy the domestic shipping experience within 6 to 8 day shipping. And again, you know, their average is 5 days. I know they don't want me to say that, but that is their average. And last mile tracking numbers from trusted carriers like USPS and Canada Post. But here's the game changer. Not only is this premium experience not expensive, it's actually cheaper than your current fulfillment options. I have zero doubt about that. That's because cargo shipping often comes with a laundry list of extra fees that eat into your profits, right? Import duties, terminal handling charges. Oh, de-stuffing fees. Oh, I love that one. Portless is here to help you improve your gross margins by up to 40% by eliminating those fees and costs. If you're looking for a way to take control of your inventory and free up cash flow for this holiday season and moving into Q1, Portless is the answer. This is the answer for you guys. So down in the show notes, we are going to have a link for you to try Portless out. So go to the link and order a product, order it to your address somewhere here in North America, and see what happens. And again, for my Australia listeners as well, they do ship down there too. So try it out. It's an incredible experience and you can see how seamless it looks. Honestly, guys, we are thinking about moving all of our fulfillment over there because it is such a phenomenal experience and is changing our cash conversion cycle absolutely massively. So again, links down in the show notes. I'll probably be talking about these guys a lot in the future. Anyway, on to today's episode. Hey guys, Jordan West back with another episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand. Today, we're going to be talking finances again, guys. Why? Because I am seeing so many D2C bankruptcies right now. It is insane. Where I am in Vancouver, again, three this week. Three brands that I know incredibly well, seven-figure brands who were just undercapitalized and just didn't see the tsunami coming. And again, seeing it all over the place. I think one of the main reasons that a lot of this is happening is just fundamentals, right? It comes down to fundamentals. And don't worry, this isn't a big like, hey, you should be doing this kind of thing. There's some simple principles here that will really help us actually see what's going on in our business. And that's what Wayne and I are going to be talking about today. Really looking forward to this conversation. So without further ado, Wayne Richard from Bean Ninjas. Did I say that right? I didn't even get the pronunciation. I was like, Beninjas?
Yeah, no, Beninjas. That's a play on the old school, you know, kind of boring traditional accountant was known as a bean counter. So we were launched about 8 years ago. And it was when ninjas was in vogue. You had Cody ninjas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone was a ninja, and we had founded the company on the premise of a 7-day start. So our founder had taken the task of within 7 days going from ideation to first paying customer. So picking a name wasn't amongst the most important things that we needed to determine. It was figuring out what's the most valuable task that a brand would be interested in paying us for.
Let's get into that on the service side, because that's really interesting. So about 40% of the people, and my percentages, guys, if you listen to this for a long time, you're like, wait, you said it was 30% last week. Whatever. Somewhere between 40 and 20% of the people that listen to this are agency owners as well. And in the service sector, software sector, this is really interesting because like when you really think about going from a zero to a paying customer, what actually matters, right? The only thing that matters is that you're solving a problem that people, that it's keeping them up at night. That's legitimately it. All your name, your org chart, all that stuff does not matter comparatively to just solving a problem that people are willing to pay you for. So I love that you brought that up. I just wanted to make sure that we kind of put a little pin in that one because that to me is really important.
Absolutely.
So tell me, Wayne, what problem were you guys going out to solve? Where did you see that there was a big gap in accounting and bookkeeping in the D2C space? Like what was that you were seeing was the big issue?
Originally, I think I'll step back a bit and share some of my background. I had been a corporate climber. I had experience working with Hewlett-Packard in their financial planning and analysis team. And I was leading teams and we were very much focused on forward-looking projection models and comparative analysis, budget to actual performance. And my original idea was that, oh, if I took the task that a world's finest finance team is using to help scale one of the world's most recognizable brands, I can apply that to small business and make a similar impact.
Yeah.
But what I quickly learned was people weren't there yet. Founders simply didn't have their basics in order to move to a place where we could teach them and help predict the future. We simply needed to help them understand the history of those decisions in the report card of numbers and how those decisions were impacting their business.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that makes a ton of sense. And I think what ends up happening as a, you know, both an agency owner and an e-com store owner is that we look back, we do a lot of looking back, like to the place where we can no longer even make a good decision, right? Because it's that far in the past. And so that's one of the things that I've found oftentimes as a direct consumer store owner is like, how do we get numbers now, right? How do I actually know what is going on now so I can make some really prudent decisions and know whether or not the 50 staff that I have right now actually makes sense from a financial standpoint? Like, what do we actually need to do? So when you guys first start working with brands on the bookkeeping and accounting side, what does that look like exactly, Wayne? Like, what are you looking for? What's some of that low-hanging fruit that you're seeing right away?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just simply in building that repetitive task of allocating the time in their schedule to actually look at their financial reports.
Yeah.
I think often many founders were not trained in the language of financial literacy.
Yeah.
So some of it is getting to a place in basic organization, in connecting the various payment gateways across Shopify, understanding the various sales channels to which the brands are selling within, and getting it to a place where there's a single source of truth, at least across the sales and expense numbers within a given time frame. So for us, it's typically 1 month. It's a traditional accounting close period. So the basics is getting them set up in a cloud-based accounting system like QBO or Xero that allows for them to have that visibility across the various sales channels into the key margins that they're seeing across those sales channels, but also below that so that they can understand that team that they have in place. Did their contribution margins actually provide enough funding for them to maintain that team throughout the year?
Gotcha. I'd actually love for people who are listening to this, and guys, this is not like an insult to anybody out there, but I think with contribution margin in general is one of those things that we talk about a lot at the agency. We do a lot of financial analyses at the agency before we ever start working with somebody at UpGrowth, just because we really think that once you know your numbers and you actually know it, when and how you can scale and how much you can afford to acquire a customer and all that kind of stuff, it's really important on the marketing side. If your agency is not doing an in-depth financial analysis, I would run, because how in the world are they going to know what to do? But this is actually one of those things that comes up a lot in trying to explain this. Do you mind just explaining like the really simple, like what is contribution margin? What does that calculation look like? And why does it even matter?
Yeah. And I'll commend to the agencies. I think some of the greatest information that I've had access to learn about a number of these topics have been communicated through the various growth agencies
awesome.
That are out there. Yeah.
There's some amazing ones that are doing this, like Taylor down at CTC, like love the guy. And he just crushes in this area.
Yeah. Like just look on DTC Twitter and search for contribution margin. You'll find amazing insights into how to practically get to this number. But at its heart, it's simply the fuel, the funding available after your cost of goods sold, your cost of sales, which is your packaging, fulfillment, shipping, payment processing charges. If you're using PayPal, there's a fee for that. So it's a variable cost that fluctuates based on the order volumes to which you're selling. So what's left after the product cost, your fulfillment, your payment processing fees, and your marketing expenses is what's called your contribution margin. Some even call it out and say contribution margin after marketing.
Yeah.
So it makes very clear that these are the funds remaining to cover your wages and team costs and the fixed operating expenses. Like maybe you have your own warehouse and there's rent, electricity, fixed costs attached to that. Contribution margin is your funding that allows for you to spend on those areas and, more importantly, have profit at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Bottom line, EBITDA, operating margin, whatever name it may be called, it's the moolah.
Yeah.
That cash then finds its way into your bank account at the end of each month.
Do you put agency fees in pre-contribution margin, or does that sit in fixed expenses?
It's really dependent on which customer. So if it is a variable cost, that is a percentage. So there's some agencies that are working more of a performance-based pricing model where their costs are variable based on the orders that are generated in that month. Because that's a variable cost, then we will include that above the contribution margin line.
Interesting.
If it's a fixed staffing fee, there's a flat $5,000, $10,000, whatever the flat fee may be, that cost will sit in what we group as wages and team costs and used below that number.
Okay, cool. That's really, really good to know because again, this is like one of those things that goes back and forth. And I know it's kind of minutia, but also it does matter what these definitions are, right? And what people are actually having as their definitions. I think the biggest thing is, like you talked about before, having a single source of truth and knowing, hey, this is the definition that we're using for this brand in particular.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that folks typically get wrapped around is like, what's a great contribution margin? And it really is dependent. It's like asking, what's a great weight? Right? And it's dependent on so many factors, right?
Weight is such a funny thing too. You know, it's one of those things that's like, I'm 6'4 and built a totally different way. Like one of my business partners who's super skinny. Like, why would we ever compare weight? Just so weird.
Right. Yeah. So a better way to attack this is to say, let me get organized and understand what my baseline looks like today. And as I enact change within my business, if my goal was to get to a better contribution margin, that change over time is your gauge on whether or not you're performing better or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So understand first, what is that baseline? And then from there, determine what your goals are, reflect on that over a period of time, reassess and see if you're meeting those goals through those changes you've made within your business. Again, as accountants, we do not know better ways for operators to run their business. We're simply acting as that custodian of the story, right? Like we capture the report card, the story in that language of numbers, and it's our job to help draw out that story so that a founder can identify, is this a story I like to tell?
Yeah.
Or is it one that I need to hurry up and change the ending?
Yeah.
Because it's not one that I'm proud to continue to tell going forward.
Mm-hmm. Wayne, there's a lot of nightmarish kind of stories going on out there right now. When you look at those, what is the culprit that you're seeing in these financial stories right now? Where are you seeing brands go wrong and how can they recover?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is truly getting organized and having that attention to the numbers.
Mm.
I think most of the focus tends to be on those glamour metrics, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have this much increase in order volume, this much top line growth in sales. And they're not focusing on those key financials like contribution margin that allow for them to understand, is this a sustainable business? Am I truly growing or am I simply growing losses?
Mm.
There's been brands that we've identified or based on their discounting strategy, their pricing strategy, their lack of increasing prices at a time when their competitors had been, were simply selling products that had low to no margin and maintaining that burn rate of those fixed costs, the wages and team costs, the operating expenses that over time simply would put them out of business. So those key factors are critical. It's really getting back, getting organized, having a system in place with the software, the people, and the workflows to understand where your numbers are minimally each month. I think another amazing resource are just the simple heads up tools that many agencies provide. I think you guys are amongst the top in terms of providing real-time financial analysis, performance on ad campaigns.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, directionally, if you are hearing these numbers from your agency, they can be validated in the month-end numbers. And as long as directionally the numbers are moving in the right way, you can have a strong sense that your business will continue to scale profitably.
Yeah.
And that's really the heart of my ask is know your numbers.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the story being told. Work. I also believe founders should not keep their numbers. I think there's, as we talked about in the intro, there's professionals that understand those particular systems,
yeah,
the particular way in which to organize and group various expenses and how to draw that story out of what look like just simple columns and rows of numbers to a place where you can then make insightful decisions on that insight and input.
Wayne, I actually want to go to what you and I were talking about before we hit record there before, when you were talking about going to that person for a headshot. And I think that's a really compelling story. And then I want to have a little bit of a wrap up point about that story, because I think this may actually be the kind of story that founders out there need to hear.
Yeah, I had a great experience. I was at a QuickBooks event. So what's hilarious is I'll tell my wife or my kids, I'm going to an accounting event in Las Vegas. And most folks would think that's going to be a great time. Go enjoy. As Ryan Reynolds said on stage, accountants are effing hilarious. And it's such a fun experience. And one of the experiences I was able to take part in was to have a professional headshot taken.
Cool.
Now, I went in thinking, I've done this a lot. I've simply looked into my MacBook and I've clicked the photo button. I've created a headshot. But when I stood there, there were lights that were put into place in front of my head to help reduce the shine on my forehead. I was told to squint one eye, smile with my teeth closed, tilt my head a particular way. And in seeing those shots, I had felt so awkward in the moment. I was felt like I looked so unlike myself. And he said, all right, we're done. It was maybe like 3 minutes of him positioning me, taking a few pictures and show me the results. And the results were fantastic. It was amazing. And I felt in that time, it kind of reminded me of that idea, right? Like here I am standing with someone that has all the right equipment.
Yeah.
They have all the prior experience and knowledge on how to position me, how to work through the process. And in the outcome, you know, was amazing.
Yeah.
It was a cool experience and a great reminder.
Yeah, I love it. So I want to bring up a couple of points here. So one of the new principles that I am operating under probably for the last 6 months or so is this whole idea of who, not how, right? So really figuring out like, hey, how do I get a headshot done, right? That's a really funny question. And again, this comes from Dan Sullivan and Ben Hardy's book, Who Not How. And just everything that Dan Sullivan has done over the years is just absolutely brilliant. You guys will hear me talking about him a lot just because he's one of those guys that really gets it when it comes to business. This is why Strategic Coach has, it's funny, like we were talking, I was chatting with somebody before about they were having some issues and I right away offered EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System. I'm like, I think that that's going to actually help you out in this situation. Knowing that Gino Wickman went through Strategic Coach. He came out of Strategic Coach. So Dan Sullivan, I put him in that sort of category. I mean, he's in his 80s now. And I put him in that same category as, he's not rich, as rich as these guys, but like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, the guys who actually have real wisdom, right? Not hacks, wisdom. And so when we go through this whole exercise of who, not how, this what Wayne talked about with the headshot is the perfect example. Number one, his headshot probably sucked at home, right? Mine do, like the ones that I do for myself. It probably took up, I will bet you, a good hour of your time that you could have been doing what you're actually good at. And number three, think about how much better this headshot is now that he got a professional to do it who actually knows what they're doing and actually wants to do it, right? And so I'm constantly thinking of this when it comes to things like bookkeeping and accounting, right? Don't run your own books. Why would you run your own books? That is ridiculous. If you're going to run your own books, then go have your own bookkeeping service. That is not what you should be doing in your business. And guys, I try not to say shoulds too much on this podcast, but it's kind of one of those absolutely no-brainers. Another one, get out of your emails, get an assistant. You don't need to be in your emails all the time. Like, those are things that just like take up so much time that it's not valuable. There's no value in you running your own inbox. I've had somebody in my inbox now for 6 months or a year. I don't know. It's been forever. I've never once missed a message that mattered that my assistant didn't pick up. Like, there's that. Also, one other thing I would throw through while we're just I'm going down this rabbit trail. I've also had my phone on Do Not Disturb for 10 years. And you know what? I've never missed an important phone call. Never once in 10 years. Have I ever been like, oh shoot, I wish I would have picked up that phone call. I'm just throwing some ideas out there for everyone. Wayne, I'm going to ask you the question that I ask everyone who comes on the podcast. Now, guys, I'm sorry about my monologues here today, but I feel like they needed to get out in the world. Wayne, I want to ask you the question I ask everyone who comes on the podcast. What is your secret to scaling?
Yeah, I think having just a keen awareness of what it's looked like for me as an entrepreneur, but also that experience in serving hundreds of brands. I think the secret is really confidence. And that's confidence in your numbers, confidence in yourself, in your team, and in your business. Mm. And as an entrepreneur, of course, and as an accountant, I'm biased to understanding your numbers, as I believe that's the report card and the success of all those other factors.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Wayne, I actually want to get into one more question for you before we get in, because I think that this is something that is actually crushing a ton of brands. And I know, particularly for our brands too, guys, I am not immune to this stuff at all. I just happen to have a lot more places I can get capital than most of you probably. So this is something that I think is a horrific thing that has gone on in the e-commerce industry. And it's these short-term loans, right? It's these short-term high, I know they don't call it interest, whatever it is, high fee loans that just eat into your cash flow. What do you think about these? Do you think that there's an alternative for people who are making, most of the brands that listen to this have to make $1 million POs on their products? It just, you have to find capital, right? Not everyone's got that sitting in their bank. What do you do? What do you advise brands to do in situations like this, Wayne?
I think they are predatory. I think they're hitting people when they're most at need.
Yeah.
I think best prevention is the best trick is better planning. There's amazing resources and methods to do it. Profit First was a very in vogue book a number of years ago, but the methodology of simply, it's like Christmas, right? Christmas comes about every year. You're going to restock product every year, multiple times a year. Plan ahead of time. As you're seeing the results, the margins, the cash flow from those sales, set aside funds for those restock POs. But if you're at a place where you are scaling well above that opportunity and there is a need to source lending, be mindful. Work through a weekly cash flow tracking and analysis. Work through in a forecast what those effective interest rates look like in terms of the payback. There's amazing resources out there. I know Bill D'Alessandro has a great calculator out there.
ChatGPT does it for you to calculate IRR. It's incredible at doing it. As long as you know, because sometimes you can be like, no, you were wrong on that calculation. Think about this number if you don't give enough context sometimes. But
interesting. I wasn't aware of that use case, but I would say it is in that planning. It's really asking the questions and being quite honest if you don't understand, and looking to others that have been down the path to really get that advice to truly put numbers to what the payback looks like over time.
Yeah, yeah. So what about for the brands that are sitting on these 33%? Can I just say, how in the world are there companies out there, massive companies, who I have now cut ties with, by the way? I have burned maybe 3 bridges ever in business. And I will tell you, these predatory lenders are disgusting. They're absolutely disgusting. I sent a $1 million contract over to one of these predatory lenders recently from a client that I do consulting with. And this company makes a lot of money. They just wanted to make a $1 million PO. And they wanted 33% of daily sales back for it. What is the point? Tell me how that is okay in any sort of world, how that is not like a mafia play. Like, these companies disgust me. They're not okay. They are taking advantage of people. They're just a little bit better than those check cashing services that are, you know, in strip malls. Like, I don't know if you could tell, Wayne, I feel a little strongly about this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is a cautionary tale, because it's the reason they can do that is they've had others that have already agreed to those types of loans. And I think until brands are knowledgeable of what the real impact looks like and avoid taking on those loans in the future, they'll continue to be a market, unfortunately, for them.
So what do you say to brands, though, that have, you know, a 30% repayment, right? And it's absolutely killing them. They don't see the end of the cycle. By the time they get to about, you know, 50,000 left in it, it's like, oh, I got to take another one. What do you say to those brands?
Yeah, I think it's all about debt management. I mean, there you're looking into, is there an opportunity for friends and family? Do you have local credit unions? You may have banking partners you have a good relationship with, you know, looking at different communities of private equity where there may be opportunity to source cheaper capital to consolidate, pay back those loans. That would be the best advice that I have. I fortunately have not provided that level of CFO type service and have not had brands that had been put in that position where it was so egregious that they just couldn't see their way out.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, if you are in that situation, reach out. I've got some really good contacts recently in the sort of longer term debt space that are out there. If you're stuck in this situation, let me know. I've got some really, really great contacts. Wayne, before we get to the last three questions, I just want to make sure that people know, where can they reach out to you if they're interested in what you guys are doing over at Bean Ninjas?
Yeah, you can visit our website, beanninjas.com. We have free resources, tools, calculators available. We also provide toolkits on both Xero and QuickBooks to help founders manage their own financial management, accounting and bookkeeping. But we also have a team of experts available to help you as well, whether that be a large cleanup project, if numbers have been left unattended for the year, or a monthly recurring service that really keeps you up to speed on your numbers. Personally, I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm not quite active, but I'm there. LinkedIn is probably
your lurker.
I am. Absolutely. I'm a learner.
Oh, I like that better. Oh, a learner, I'm a learner, not a lurker. That's right. So much better. Oh, wait, this has been great. I'm going to get to our last three questions here. I hope that you are ready.
Absolutely.
Okay. First question, favorite tool or app that you're using right now?
Yeah. By far, as in the accounting industry, one of the major pain points in working with e-commerce brands and complexities comes around sales accounting. You have numerous payment gateways across numerous sales channels, and they're just flooding your bank account with deposits. So that matching of sales settlement to deposit, there's an amazing tool called A2X. It automates that e-commerce sales accounting. It simply connects your sales channels with your accounting platform, whether that be QuickBooks Online or Xero, and really handles that heavy lifting. And it honestly saves us hours on the bookkeeping services we're delivering to our customers.
Cool. That's great. That's a great tool. Remember, guys, whatever Wayne and I have talked about throughout here, if there's a link to it, anything like that, that will be down in the show notes. Wayne, second question for you. Favorite podcast or audiobook that you are listening to right now?
Yeah, I've listened to twice. Atomic Habits was my favorite audiobook. I just love the idea of identifying who you want to become and what are those habits that that individual would display in the course of their typical day. That was a key book, you know, that really helped gauge how I not only operate as an individual, as a father of five kids, but also as an entrepreneur.
Wayne, I just love when I have other dads on the podcast because just something that they're to raising kids. That there's a lot. And Atomic Habits, guys, like James Clear is a phenomenal human. Also, we're recording this in mid-November of 2023 right now. I don't remember when that book came out. It is the bestseller again right now. It is the number one bestseller right now. I'm like, what? Again? Like, he absolutely...
Yes, yeah, psychology book. I love the storytelling as well. The stories told in that book. Phenomenal. It really does come down. The best stories win. And I think it's an amazing way to learn. I really enjoyed it. A number of times I was training for a long cycling event. I would listen through the entire book on a training ride.
Wow. Wow. I think about this concept. One of the principles at Upgrowth Commerce is it can always be 10% better. And that can be a really bad thing to get things done. The way that I like to think about that principle and that value is that you get it to a point, you ship it, you ship whatever it is that you're working on, but then know that you can always improve. And I don't know if you guys have noticed at the podcast, like we have a completely new setup, completely new types of guests that we're having on and all these things, because I know that this can be 10% better. And I want it to be for you guys because this is really valuable time that you guys are spending with me. The fact that thousands of you listen to this on a weekly basis and we put out 2 to 3 episodes and you guys are actually listening and contacting me and all of these things just is, I don't know, there's something really special about that, but it wouldn't happen if we didn't constantly do that. And I know I've heard the story about James Clear and how long it actually took him to write Atomic Habits. And it was a long time. There's some really great stories on that, which I highly suggest. Just search James Clear, Atomic Habit writing. And there's some great stories that I've actually heard in other books referenced about him. One more thing too, guys, if you're not on his Thursday newsletter, his 3-2-1, it's the best newsletter. It's the only one that I religiously read every single week and every single time, like blows my mind. So really, really suggest. I'll make sure that there's a link down in the show notes for that one as well. Okay, Wayne, last question for you. You just found out you have a year to live. What changes?
I think I've done in my entrepreneurial journey, I've truly focused on time freedom. I have an amazing opportunity to be there with my family, with my kids. If I had 1 year to live, I honestly believe I'd keep many things similar. I would attend all their events. I would truly be there. The one thing I think I would change, though, I never had an amazing education in money, how to approach money. I begin to give them those resources to understand. And this is a quote I'll take from a recent read, Morgan Housel's Psychology of Money. One of the quotes was, money can be the result of a great life, but a great life is not the result of money.
Mm-mm. That book was a, like, talk about books that change your life, guys. The Psychology of Money is like, even you just saying it, my whole body just was like, about how transformative that was for my mind.
Yeah. So I think for me, it's really to get them living in the gratitudes and those things that have made for a great life in their experience, but also the understanding of some of the principles around, hey, if you're allocating resources to your long-term investments now, it's going to pay the fruits for you later in the area of compounding interest. Yeah. It's those more tactical things I would also want them to understand too. But yeah, the focus really would be in those gratitudes.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, Wayne, that was so good. Thanks for bringing that book up too. Because again, guys, if you haven't read Psychology of Money or listened to it, like, it's phenomenal. One of the best book recommendations I've gotten. And one I've never really told people about on this pod. So yeah, Wayne, thanks again for your time today. Guys, remember, if you want to get a hold of Wayne or learn more about some of the resources that they have over at Bean Ninjas, check out the show notes. We are obsessive with it. We spend a lot of time on those show notes. And so please take advantage of those resources. Wayne, thank you again so much for your time today.
Jordan, appreciate being here. Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed the conversation.
Awesome. Hey guys, just wanted to say thanks again so much for listening to the podcast. If I could ask one favor of you, it would be to share this with your other e-commerce store owner friends. We want everyone in the e-com space to be listening to this podcast, and lots of you guys already are, and we really, really appreciate that. One last thing before you go as well is we are offering to our podcast listeners a free e-commerce growth plan where we go from strategy to sale with your brand in this e-commerce growth plan. So feel free to go to www.upgrowthcommerce.com/grow and apply for a free growth plan today. Thank you all again so much for listening.